Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Wednesday, April 29th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter A Vision for You on page 154. We're going to be reading the first paragraph, which begins with bitterly discouraged. Today's readers are Nan K. for the 12 Steps, Christina L. for the 12 Traditions, Robin P., Eileen M., and Teddy L. C. Kara L. will greet newcomers after our shares, and then Robin P. will end us up with some special announcements. The reference number for the 10 a.m. meeting for yesterday, April 28th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, is 14519. That's 14519. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Wednesday, April 29th, is 14527. That's 14,527. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Nan K. to please read the 12 steps. Star one to unmute.
Hi, I'm Nan K., and here are the 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Nan K. And I'll now ask Christina L. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Christina L., recovered compulsive overeater from Florida. Here are the 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks. Have a great day. I pass.
Thank you very much, Christina L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter of Vision for You on page 154, and we're going to read and comment on the first paragraph. And I will now ask Robin P. to please begin reading.
Thanks so much, Wayne. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. Bitterly discouraged, he found himself in a strange place, discredited and almost broke. Still physically weak and sober but a few months, he saw that his predicament was dangerous. He wanted so much to talk with someone, but whom? So as you go in this story, you find, you know, that he has a choice here between actually doing something positive for his recovery and to help someone else and to be of service to God and his fellows, or to go back to drinking, which would be death. And the whole 12-step program, all of the 12-step programs are predicated on this one moment. You know, this is his chance to either start, he didn't know he was starting a whole fellowship of, you know, that would last forever, you know, forever as we know it. And but these are these moments where in our own recoveries where we get to say, where I get to say, am I going to be of service to someone, or am I going to weaken or strengthen my program? Am I going to put money into the bank? I always have these choice moments. You know, I really see that I get to be of service. And, you know, if I have time for a new sponsee, I can reach out. I happen to be a vegan, and there are some fellowships here within A Vision for You where you can actually reach out to people, you know, and find people that you can help with their food and taking them through the steps. And there's always a person that we can help and get out of ourselves. All we have to do is be willing. And I know that when I do a 10th step, you know, it's always recommended that I reach out and help somebody else after I surrender it. You know, 10, 11, and 12, that's what I'm living in. So when I'm wrong, I admit it. And, you know, it's not if, it's when. And I do my step work on it. When I'm selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, resentful, or fearful, I surrender it to God and I go help someone else. So I get to go live in recovery. And, you know, there's all these numbers that we're given. It's so much easier for us now, you know, we with the phones and with the Zoom meetings, there's just everything that right at our fingertips. All we have to do is just pray for the willingness to reach out. God bless everybody in your recoveries. I pray that we all have a very abstinent, blessed day. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Robin T. All righty. Now, Although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others who might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days, we'd love to put you on a list to share. Who'd like to share?
Ida A.
Ida A.
Darian K.
Marion K.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen
Joanne
O.
B.
Joanne B.
Penny L. C.
Penny L.
Shlomi Hana B.
And Shlomi Hana B. finishes up our list here. And if you didn't get a chance to share your name, we have another round coming up after these lovely folks share. Okay, so we're going to start out with Ida A, followed by Marion K. Please go ahead, Ida.
Thank you so much, Elaine. Let me try that again. Thank you so much, Elaine. And can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Sorry, I'm having phone issues. So, bless you all for being here. This is Ida A, grateful compulsive overeater in Northern British Columbia. And this speaks to me of the power of story. And oh my gosh, bless you for reading this, slowing it down, because I don't think I've ever heard it so clearly before. As we move forward to help others, it's always about helping me too. And what I see is bitterly discouraged. How can I lean into that? How can I relate to that? Oh my gosh, have there been times when I've been bitterly discouraged? And what about being bitterly discouraged in a place that wasn't my home? Absolutely. I travel all over the place for work, although not now. Out of money, oh my gosh, yes, finances not doing well. And then being in a weak state, being abstinent, but like super shallow in my abstinence. And discredited, you know, for me that feels like that codependent thing. Everything I do to try to be liked. I don't think in life I was discredited, but I kept discrediting myself. So there are so many ways in which story and the power of story, I can relate to it all. And through that and through the power of the Creator, I can help other people relate to that. And I love that we paused in this section because this is a deep down place to be. And helping other people to see, wait for it, because tomorrow or the next day or whenever it comes, you're going to find something extraordinary. There's going to be this path, this bifurcation, and what journey I take depends on how I lean into these 12 steps. And it's a remarkable story. Anyway, thank you all for being here. You're a gift. I pass.
Thank you so much, Ida A. Darren K., you are up next, followed by Kathleen O.
Hi there. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, it's fine. Thank you.
Great. Yes, it's Darian K with an D. And I'm in the Berkshires, Massachusetts, grateful recovered compulsive overeater. And just looking at that paragraph, it just made me think so much about my diet days. I mean, seriously, we all came in here, right? This is the last house on the left, as they say, the last path we took. And so the path that I took to diet and to try to, you know, lose the weight and be happy, because those two came, you know, went together. You know, I just remember being bitterly discouraged, in a predicament, and physically broken and discredited. I mean, discredited, I had no credibility when it came to dieting. You know what I mean? There was no honesty there. And that's why they didn't work. I mean, they were perfectly good diets, I'm sure, if you stuck to it, but nothing worked for me. So I felt all those feelings before I ever found a way, you know, during those diet days and just weak, right? Physically weak. And so it wasn't who I was going to talk to. It was really a what was I going to go to, and that was the food. Like, there was just no who. I wasn't going to call the Weight Watchers leader. I didn't even have her phone number, right? They didn't give out phone numbers. I had no who. I really had no who. There was nobody to talk to. And so I was left with myself. And I didn't realize at that time that there was a higher power to rely on. So, yeah, it was just me. me, myself, and I. And so what did I do with that predicament? Went right to the food to calm it, you know, just get back on the stick Monday. So be it. And that was my, you know, my diet day. So today this paragraph means so much more. I know today when I am feeling these feelings, because we are feeling our feelings, right? If we're not eating, we can pick up the phone and talk to somebody, primarily my sponsor who knows me super well, but also many, many people out there that I've spoken to, that I've chosen to share personal experiences with. We have so many opportunities to talk to people and get that real positive energy and hope that we need to stick to what we're doing and move on from whatever we're feeling. The feelings are not facts. They're simply feelings, and that we can get through it a day at a time, relying on our higher power, the program, the tools, the steps, and just one day at a time, sometimes one meal at a time, you know, depending where you are, you know, in your abstinence. And so that's
gentle reminder.
Yep, I will pass.
Thank you for signing. Thank you, Darian K. Okay, Kathleen, no, you are up next, followed by Joanna B.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you. It's Kathleen O, recovered in California. Bitterly discouraged. Those are two really powerful words. And something that I think all of us experience all the time. Those things are going to happen. So bitterly, in an angry, hurtful, resentful way, that's kind of the mood you're in when bitterly and discouraged, you know, we're frustrated, we're disheartened. It's easy to go into fear when we're bitterly discouraged. And, you know, Bill was new in his sobriety in this part of the story he's telling. And it's really easy to, when we are new in abstinence, to come to this crossroads where we do get discouraged. You know, things happen in life that we can't control. And even, you know, during this quarantine, I mean, who has not become discouraged with this quarantine? Whether it's, you know, affecting your life personally, which it has everybody, but globally, what is this doing? What's it doing to our economy? So it's really easy when we come into these crossroads when things don't go according to plan, and they don't go according to plan most of the time. When they don't go according to plan, we come to this crossroads and we can make the choices Bill did here, which you're going to hear, is we go to our higher power, or, you know, we reach out to someone to help, or we go back to the alcohol, in our case, the food. And I know so many people who have broken their abstinence during this quarantine because it's so easy to go for the food because we've had so many years of experiencing that ease and comfort that comes from reaching for the food. Unfortunately, it only lasts about 5 minutes. So, you know, the bottom line is it's easier to be entirely abstinent than to be in the food. And it's really important to, for me, I know when things aren't going my way, is to go to my higher power and ask for guidance on how to do the next right thing. And frequently that is just reaching out. You know, there are so many people in this program, and all you have to do is get on the phone. I mean, listen at the end of the meeting after recording stopped and get newcomers' names, just jot them down. People are always giving their names who want outreach calls, and make an outreach call. You might not help them, or you might, but you're always going to help yourself because it's going to get your mind off thinking about the food and thinking about something else and someone else. So, you know, are we connected to that great reality within? Are we doing service? Are we reaching out to people and helping? Because when things don't go right, I always say God's rejection is God's protection. And the answer is not in the food. It's never in the food. It's always in my higher power and reaching out to you, all of you. And I have to tell you that, you know, being able to sponsor is really a gift. And I can honestly say that. Thank you. My sponsees help me sometimes much more than I help them. Thank you, Elaine. I pass.
Thank you so much, Kathy. No. So, Joanne B., followed by Penny L.C.
Please go ahead, Joanne.
Thank you. This is Joanne B., recovered in Texas. That bitterly discouraged, he found himself in a strange place. When I first came into program and I was in that place already, of course, that desperation. But as I learned to put down my food and that the problem was something else, oh my goodness, I didn't know it was a strange place. It was a strange place to be because I didn't know, well, what am I supposed to do when all of those feelings came up? I had never gotten to feel them before, and all of a sudden I'm having these emotions that are that were overflowing, and I didn't know what to do with them. And I remember one particular time when I thought that I was doing well with my emotions and learning how to use these wonderful steps, and I had gone through my steps, and then I found myself in a new place of being out in the world, actually doing a real job and with people, and something happened that caught me so terribly off guard, and I remember not knowing what to do and how scared I was. And I mean, it was so horrible that the very first thing I thought was, well, I can't go to food, so I'll just commit suicide. And I was like, oh my goodness, where is all this coming from? And I'm so very grateful, because in that broke, discredited place where I was physically weak and my mind was weak as well, I was able to call my fellows and to find a recovered person who was in a place of stability and serenity and peace, and I was able to say, help me, I don't know what to do. And they were my stronghold until I came to that place where I understood these new feelings that I was feeling that I normally hid with food. And I'm so grateful for this meeting. I'm so grateful for this program and for all of you who have helped me. And with that, I just want to say thank you, and I will pass.
Thank you, Joanne D. Penny Elsie, you are up next, and then we'll have Shlomi Hanakay and take a new lineup on page 154, paragraph 1. Please go ahead, Penny Elsie.
Thank you, Elaine. Thanks for your service. This is Penny Elsie, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And as it was mentioned, a crossroads, and I also see this as a fork in the road for me. I have a choice. I can go left or I can go right. And actually there's actually a third fork in my road. So here I am. I can go back to my addiction. I can go forward to recovery and reach out to someone else. And also, what's not mentioned, but I know for me it would have been a choice. I can go back to the hotel room and try to white knuckle it, try to just sit there and be with myself, and through sheer will of my own willpower, not think about going to the bar. Well, I know how well that one's worked, and it hasn't. And I knew how well going into the bar didn't work for me, as it was the 7-Eleven or the drive-through. And grateful today that I know that when I'm in that crossroad and that fork in the road, I'm going to choose the higher road. I'm going to choose my higher power and choose to surrender and reach out to someone else. And I appreciate that Bill went into such detail about his feelings here and about the thought process that he was going through building up to this. I know for me, so often I would just do it and and not really think it through, you know, just a reaction instead of a response to the situation. And today I know that I can pause and I can bring God into it and I can get that guidance that I need in that moment that'll help me to turn to that church directory instead of that bar. I know today, whatever difficulty I'm facing, whatever hardship, there's a way through it, so long as I trust and rely on my higher power. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Penny Elsie. Shlomit Hadda, you're up next, and then we'll take another lineup on page 154, paragraph 1, the paragraph that begins with bitterly discouraged. Please go ahead, Shlomit Hadda.
Thank you so much. And by the way, my last initial is B, by the way, like boy. Shlomit Hadda K is the other Shlomit Hadda. I'm kidding.
Oh, okay.
There's only one of us. Okay. thank you so much for your service. Thank you so much to the timekeeper and to everybody on this line and in this fellowship. I'm so, so grateful to all of you. And just reading that, you know, that, I guess, Bill's reaction, I guess, just makes me think of my own process. You know, it reminds me of, I think, what Harlan says about, explains how we get flooded with emotion. And then when we get flooded with emotion, we don't know what to do. And that's when the mental twist comes in, and then we go to our addiction. As he always says, food is the solution, not the problem. So how amazing that we have a fellowship today where when we feel those floods of emotion that we can call somebody and do a 10th step or text somebody or, you know, speak with our sponsor. There's so much support out there, and it's such a blessing. And, you know, in Bill's day, he didn't have that support. He had to create it. And I'm really kind of amazed at how self-aware he was, that he knew that the solution was to talk to somebody, that he knew that he was just going to have to speak with somebody. Otherwise, he was going to go back to his drug. And that's how the fellowship was born. And today, you know, we have it so easy. Thank God. We really have a fellowship right at our fingers, you know. You know, and especially with the technology, getting more and more, I guess, getting easier and easier to contact people. You know, it's not just picking up a telephone now. It's, you can text somebody. You can WhatsApp somebody. You can go on a GroupMe group for outreach. And it's right there, and it's right, you know, and it's so simple. And I have to say that for me, this has just been, it's just been a lifesaver, honestly, knowing that I do not have to suffer alone, that when I have that buildup of emotion, then I know exactly what I can do. I can do an inventory. I can contact somebody, I can share it with somebody, and then I can go do service with somebody else. And it's right there at my fingertips. So I don't have to be in that point where it's so built up that I have nowhere else to go and that I pick up, God forbid. I don't have to get to that point. There are all these sources in place to keep me safe. And I'm really, really grateful for that because, you know, especially in this pandemic, you know, there are lots of times when I'm getting flooded with emotion, where I'm, you know, engaging in behaviors maybe that are not quite so abstinent, you know,
thank
not
you,
food, thank God. Thank you. So I don't have to do this alone. I can have help. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Shlomit Hadda B. All right. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days, please let me know if you'd like to share.
Kathy Joe P.
I heard Kathy Joe P.
Gaylene
B.
Gaylene B.
Santa H.
I heard Santa H. I have Kathy Jo B. Santa H. and Jolene B.
Jordan.
Anybody
L.
else? Jordan L. Room for two more. Okay. Well, let's go with this.
KB.
Sherry KB. All righty. Let's go with this. Okay. So we've got Kathy Jo P, Santa H, Jolene B, Jordan L, and Sherry KB. And that sounds great. So, Kathy Jo P, please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P, a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. And when I look at this text, I believe it really does apply to my current situation, only I'm not sure I would use bitterly discouraged. If I were to reflect back how I would have showed up during this time with the pandemic and being sheltered in place, I believe that's how it would be, only maybe we could add some more adjectives there like outraged and utterly discouraged. But I was talking to someone this morning and doing my 11-step review, and what came out of her mouth was Groundhog Day. And I feel like I am having a Groundhog Day every day, only my Groundhog Day is I'm at peace, mostly. I am grateful. I'm cherishing this time with my family. And the big thing I want to say is I'm not making this time in shelter in place interesting by what goes in my mouth. And that is still, it feels so new and fresh for me that, you know, in the past, I would have gotten through it by lots of hot Cheetos and lots of different flavors of Laffy Taffy. But now I get to, you know, play more card games with my family, watch more interesting shows, go for walks with our dog, and do puzzles, which that was not what happened before. And I also, the talking with someone, but whom? Oh my gosh, I've never had so much abundance of who to talk to with Zoom and phone and all the different chat groups that are available to me. To talk with whom? I feel like the abundance is here and God has just given me so many options and so many ways to connect. And my connecting is not about how bad everything is. My connecting is, how is God working in your day? How are you grateful? How is your prayer time? Who are you helping? And that's what's being shared, and that is contagious, and that is wonderful in a way that I never dreamed possible. Is my life perfect? No. But I cannot believe in the middle of the pandemic, I have a 19-year-old and 17-year-old living at home, and we're having very, very, very few outbursts. We are actually a pretty happy family here, the Petersons. So I am feeling really grateful today and so grateful that there were times when everything maybe was going my way and I was still bitterly discouraged. But today I feel content during a time of trial, and I know that is because God is with me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy Jo P. Santa H., you are up next, followed by, I think I had Jolene B. wrong. I think it's Gaylene B. And, yeah, Santa H., please go ahead.
Good morning, my fellows. My name is Santa H. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater living in the solution one day at a time, from calling in from Montclair, New Jersey. Great shares this morning. Thank you all for your service. What really got me was the term bitterly discouraged. That is a very strong word for me, and it takes an incredible amount of strength for him to sit there with, you know, he needs to talk to someone when making that decision. I remember how this relates to me. I don't get bitterly discouraged very often in life. Since I'm in a world of recovery now. When my sponsor passed away suddenly, looking back hindsight, I realized that I made her my higher power. And I had her for a very long time, from the beginning of my OA experience here. And when she passed away, I just thought there was no other sponsor that can take her place. And with that kind of thinking in mind, it led me to not getting another sponsor for a couple of years, and that led me back into the food. And so I share that to hopefully help someone else out, to turn towards a higher power and not towards our sponsors as the be-all, end-all. And I also want to share that, with this pandemic going on, in the beginning, I was discouraged, not bitterly discouraged, but I was discouraged. And I did a lot of 10 steps. And that's what I do today. I do a lot of 10 steps. I did a lot of 10 steps around the issue. Today, I'm just perfectly fine with what's happening. And I call someone, and as I was doing my 10 steps, it was stuck out to me the most out of all of my 10 steps. And she said, "Why don't you get out of yourself and use this time to do more sponsoring?" And that's what I did. And I found out that sponsoring really saved the day for me. Really, really was a high point of my day. And I eventually stopped thinking about, circumstances that I could not control. So this program does work when I work it. And living in 10, 11, and 12 is where I'm at today, and grateful that I have a sponsor today. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Santa H. And Gaylene B., you're up next, followed by Jordan L.
Hi, I'm Gaylene B., recovering in Idaho Falls, Idaho. The part that really jumped off the page for me is that he saw. I can't change what I don't see. I could see most of my adult life that I had an unhealthy relationship with food, but because I could diet with the best of them, I thought I was fine. And I could compulsively eat all I wanted, and then I would starve myself and maintain the weight that I wanted. 12 years ago, when I came into the rooms of recovery in another fellowship, I saw my codependency. And as I began to lay it down and lay down my weapons of war and see how it was affecting my family, I found myself in a strange land, and I was naked and vulnerable. And I picked up food in a way that I never had before, never to diet again. And I'm grateful for a loving friend that approached me one day and said, "Gaylene, I've never seen you do that before." I said, "Do what?" And unbeknownst to me, I had eaten half a pound of brownies as I was talking to my alcoholic mother. And I then had a blinder pulled off and began to see that I was in trouble. But it took quite a while before I could even work my way into a place of wanting help, needing help. But I eventually, through continuing to work the 12 steps and other programs, was able to move myself into this program, and through the grace of God was brought to a vision for you. Due to my husband's health problems, we come to Scottsdale for the winter to try to help him maintain his health. And with this pandemic and the drops in the stock market, we watched our life savings just dwindle away. And the Lord pulled the blinders off my eyes. And I saw how my compulsive spending had terrorized my husband. And that's what I do. Now, if I'm going to really stay abstinent, it's important that I compulsively spend. And I'm just grateful to be able to see for the first time in my life, I am abstinent from compulsive eating and compulsive spending. And I find myself in a strange land, but I have a peace about me that helps me. No, I'm going to be okay. I have support. I know where to turn. I have these meetings every day that I just started calling into last week that are a godsend. I'm just really grateful to be able to see what I can see. So then in times of stress, I don't revert back to old behaviors, but I can keep going forward in the things that I see and know to be true. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gaylene B. Welcome. Glad you're here. And Jordan L., please go ahead, and you'll be followed by Sherry KB.
Hey, good morning, Elaine. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. What am I? I'm definitely a compulsive overeater. glad to be on the line with you guys this morning. Bill W., man, this guy is like my soulmate. I never met the dude, obviously, but and it's funny because I had a real hard time relating to him when I first got here. But these days, man, him and I, we are like walking this path together. So the proceeding was shot through with much hard feeling and controversy. That was the last line of the paragraph from yesterday. Hard feeling and controversy and bitter discouragement and discredited and broke, physically weak. These are like the things, the things that I, the place that I was in when I got here, right? And I got to tell you, like, I'm not one of those people who, like, stays positive or optimistic. I'm not one of those people who joins things or likes to be a part of. I'm like, as far as, like, the spectrum of human beings goes, I tend to be pretty pessimistic, and I tend to, like, be a lone wolf and do things on my own, you know? So to be in that place and to come in here and to hear people talking about, like becoming a part of this, joining this and helping others, to a better place. Like that was real foreign territory for me. And to be totally honest, like I didn't even believe it when I got here. I was like, dude, all these people could be 600 pounds and sitting on their couch at home and we would have no idea. and I'm happy to say that that's not the case for newcomers. Like, I've met a lot of the people on this line in person, and that's not the case. But to go from that place of being completely and totally alone and picking up the phone and passing this on to someone else in order to save yourself, like, that's exactly it. That's exactly how this program started. That's exactly how it works. So, like, and you think about it, if Bill hadn't done that, like, we wouldn't be here today. We would not be here today. None of this.
Just a reminder?
I'll wrap it up. There would be no Alcoholics Anonymous. There would be no Overeaters Anonymous. Like, we would not be here. This one guy hadn't gotten out of himself in that one moment, you know? so anyway, I'm grateful to be a part of this today. That's all I got.
Thanks so much, Jordan L. Sherry KB, I think you're going to finish this up today, but we'll see. Okay.
Good morning.
Please go ahead.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Elaine, and everybody on the line, and welcome any newcomers, and glad you're all here this morning. What comes to mind to me is that, you know, Bill's in this place where he's, you know, he's pretty down in the dumps here, and he's talking about going into the bar to find companionship and release. And, you know, what I think about is the opposite of that is fellowship, because I know that I can be lifted up when I talk to somebody. I don't get release. I get fellowship. I get set back on my feet when I call somebody else in this program or I'm of service to somebody in this program. And what I think about is, for me, there are not three choices. There are only two choices. either I can go on to the bitter end or accept spiritual help. So there's no, you know, we hear on a show, door number one, door number two, or door number three. And there's no door number three. There's only two doors to me, and it's to seek spiritual help or to go on to the bitter end trying to do it by myself. And I know that when I ask God for help, I always get it. When I pick up the phone to be of service to somebody else, it does, I feel like God gets in there like a spiritual vacuum cleaner and sucks it all out of me. And I have been through a lot of different things through this program and really hard stuff. And I have felt grounded and calm, especially when I'm of service to somebody else. And I think of what it says on page 15 when Bill talks about when he's been plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment that nearly drove him back to drink. And soon I found when all other measures failed, work with another alcoholic would save the day. And that's what I notice that happens. If I'm really getting upset, I know that, well, first of all, I get on my knees and pray. And then I ask God for help. And, you know, there's nothing wrong also with reaching out, you know, to help somebody else, but also to help yourself by doing 10, 11, and 12. That's how it really is helpful to me. And leaning on my higher power and looking to the fellowship, not for companionship, but for fellowship. And there's a big difference for that for me. And I just know that, I'm amazed at what I've walked through and felt calm and grounded. And, you know, the definition of serenity is untroubled, undisturbed, and peace. And even though we're in the storm, and that's what serenity is peace in the storm. And so I'm just very grateful for that. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sherry KB. We do have time for one more share. Anybody would like to take that? Star one to unmute, let me know.
Hi, this is Lisa E.S. I would love to share.
Lisa E.S., please go ahead.
Hi, I'm Lisa E.S. in California, grateful, recovering, compulsive eater, and this is the first time I've actually shared. This particular paragraph for me is so important, and it really is the difference between action and inaction and abstinence and not having abstinence. And so I'm so grateful that in that moment, Bill made that choice to go to that directory, to reach out and ask, you know, who else can he help? You know, during this time, I definitely tend to experience fear at a pretty great level. And so without my higher power, without the support of this fellowship and my sort of willingness to keep kind of trudging, I could go into a pretty dark place. But what I learned from this particular paragraph is how important it is for me to reach out and to be of service to others in my life. And when I do that, life is really good. So that's it. Just wanted to kind of get my voice out there. I always feel awkward sharing on a phone meeting. So yay, done this now. And so grateful for this vision meeting and for all of you visionaries. It's really been a miracle being part of it. Thank you. And that,
I'll pass. Thank you, too. Lisa, yes, so glad you had an opportunity to share today. It might be challenging for somebody to take just like a 1.5-minute share, but if you'd like to, we do have time for that. Just like 1 minute, really. And maybe what we'll do is save that time for newcomers. Okay, that's
Hi,
what we'll
do.
I'm sorry, didn't get your name?
Sorry. My name is Jen F., as in Frank,
okay,
and I will share really quick.
Great, thank
yep.
you.
So one of the big things I noticed here is that the Bill felt bitterly discouraged, and he didn't try and not feel bitterly discouraged. He acknowledged that things had gone bad. He didn't try and think positive. Think about the good that can come from this and all of the rest, and because he allowed that, bitter, discouraged, he knew that he needed to do something, for me, what will happen if I don't is if something else pops up. So maybe I don't go in the bar, but I end up going shopping or something else. So thank you so much. Have a great day.
Oh, perfect, NF. Thank you so much. And thank you to everybody who shared and listened and came and been part of this beautiful meeting. We're now going to transition by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Eileen M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., gratefully recovered in New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.